Good evening. How are you? How is everybody doing? Good to be here. Good to be here with you all. It's good hearing the little kids. Not little kids. When you say little kids, you feel like I offended you, right? I'm sorry. They struck that. Not little kids. The younger kids. It was good to hear them read the scripture and whatnot. Every time we come to Kenilworth, something funny always happens with our kids. That's just the reality. So remember a couple years ago when we came here, our oldest at the time, Jeremiah, he gets car sick, and I just happened to get a little gas, and I think I shared the story that he literally threw up as we parked the car, and all over his nice dressy shirt, and we had nothing. We had the only shirt that we had was like a 3-month-old shirt, so he's like, you know, stuck in this like tight little 3-month-old shirt. He was like, I forget, 9 or 12, I don't know. It was really tight, and so I remember that was a couple years ago. But this time, we're driving. And Jeremiah, he's telling me to drive fast. And I said, no, you get a ticket. And then he's like, what is a ticket? And I was like, well, you get a ticket and you got to pay money to the cops. Our daughter, Eliana, she's our second oldest. She's like, Daddy, get a ticket. And I'm like, why? She's like, so you can get money. She didn't realize that you have to pay money. She's like, get a ticket so you can get money and yeah, whatever. So we could buy something, I think, is what she wanted to get. So, yeah, always something silly with the kids and whatnot. But definitely a pleasure to be here, happy to be here. You know, I always share a little bit about my family. My wife's in the back over there. She's kind of the last sow. She's waving a hand. You know, my wife and I are both on staff with an organization called Crew. And so we work with high school students in New York City, high school, middle school students in New York City. Ministry's going well. Remember this week, I walk into one of the schools, and I go to the assistant principal, and I said, hey, is the room ready for our weekly club? And she was like, right, the room. And you don't have a teacher. A couple weeks ago, we didn't have a teacher in the room, and a fight almost broke out between students. And so she's scrambling last minute to get a teacher, but we had about 17, 18 kids in a room. One of the teacher sponsors, probably not a Christian, but I was able to share the Easter story with these students. And the teacher sponsor, you know, who happened to be, you know, plucked last minute, he heard the story. He's like, listen, if there's anything I could do in the future, you know, just let me know. And so it's just really cool to see, you know, a room packed full of students, kids coming from all different, you know, demographics, different issues, and being able to just share the gospel of Jesus Christ and think about this season that we're in, sort of the Easter, the Holy Week, and just to think about all that. But if you have your scriptures, go ahead and turn to John chapter 10. I'm going to look at John 10 in a second and then turn over to Matthew 27, which will be our main passage. But John 10, you could just go ahead and turn there, park there. We're going to open in a prayer in a little bit. So John 10, let's go ahead and just pray real quick, and then we'll jump into the scripture, and then we'll share a little bit of the Lord has placed laid on my heart this evening. God, thank you so much for this day and the significance that it means to Christians and the significance that it means to the world. The fact that you died on a cross for our sins, and we get to remember that, and it's a good thing, Lord. It's a good thing. So we thank you for that, Lord. God, I thank you for the saints that are here, the people that are here that maybe, Lord, are first time, second time here, or maybe they're still searching. They still have questions about who you are. They're wrestling with just those deep questions, Lord. And thank you that you said you're the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you, God. You are the answer to the life's deepest and toughest questions. Father God, would you have your way tonight as I share a short thought, Lord? Would your spirit move in our hearts, God? Would you lift our eyes to you? God, you must increase, we must decrease. More of you and less of us. And so we pray that you will be glorified this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. As I think about this year, and this time of the year, one word keeps coming to my mind when I think about the time of the year, And it's the word surrender. It's the word surrender. So John 10, starting at verse 17, it says, "For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again." And look at that verse 18. "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down. I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I receive from my Father." You think about Jesus laying down his life for us. That's what we think about during this time of the year. Surrender. Jesus Christ laying down his life for us. But as I think about this particular afternoon in the history of what happened historically speaking, on this afternoon, Jesus was on a cross. And when I think about this afternoon, there are four words that come to my mind. So if you have your scriptures, go ahead and turn over to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. There are four words that I want to touch on this evening. Matthew chapter 27. The first word is pain. Can you guys say pain?
Pain?
You guys remember, I like to interact with you guys, right? Who remember that, right? I like to interact. Can you guys say pain?
Pain.
Excellent. Pain. Let's look at Matthew chapter 27. Specifically, let's look at verse... make sure I got it right. Starting at verse 24. It says that, "So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water, washed his hands before the crowd, saying, 'I am innocent of this man's blood. See it to yourselves.' And all the people answered, 'His blood be on us and on our children.' Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged..." What does some of your versions say? Does that someone say? Does any... Flog, right? Does any other version say anything differently? All right. "Scourge Jesus... delivered him to be crucified." I mean, we all are probably familiar with this idea of scourging or flogging, but it was part of the process that the Roman soldiers did when they were crucifying someone, whether it was a criminal, primarily criminals, right? When they were crucifying someone. And they had, I may have shared this before, but they had one rule: flesh off the bone. And so they would take this instrument. It was a killing weapon, basically, a brutal weapon, and at the tip of this weapon was stone and was metal. And so when it caught your back, what would happen to your skin? Rip off. Flesh off the bone. You think about the pain that Jesus endured as he was flogged by the soldiers. Some of us have seen probably The Passion of the Christ, right? Or there was a movie, I think, 2 years ago called Risen. I mean, you've probably seen it in the Jesus film or whatever. We visually can comprehend it because we've seen it before. We understand the pain that Jesus went through. His back covered with marks, bleeding, pain. This is what Jesus went through. He went through pain. But the second word that I think about this afternoon is not just pain, but I think about humiliation. Humiliation. Let's continue reading the scriptures. Matthew chapter 27, starting at verse 27 of Matthew chapter 27, says, "And the soldiers of the governors took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked." Can you guys say mocked?
Mocked.
"They mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they spit on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him," you see that word again, "they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him." They mocked him. They stripped him of his own clothes. You think about that humiliation. A lot of commentators say that very well Jesus was probably, he was probably naked when they stripped him off his clothes. You think about that humiliation. Verse 30, what do they do in verse 30? They spat on him. Have you guys ever been spat in the face? Spit, is that I'm saying the right? Spit, spat, whatever. Doesn't matter. Has that ever happened to you? It's gross. It's gross. It's humiliating. The humiliation that our Savior went through. And then again, they mocked them again, and they stripped them. And as they lead him away to be crucified, look at verse 32. Someone by the name of Simon carries a cross. We continue, he's on the cross. They divided his garments before him. And let's pick up at verse 36. It says, then they sat down, kept watch over him there, and over his head they put charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." And two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right hand, one on the left. And those who passed by derided him. What does the other version say there? I like to interact with other versions.
Hurled insults.
All right? And it continues, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." The people are mocking him. The people. And then we look at verse 41. It turns to the chief priests, right? And scribes and elders, they mock them saying, "He saved others." Think about that. Jesus healed the blind. He made the lame to walk. He did all these miracles. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, they saw Jesus do this. And they said, "Man, he saved others, yet he can't even save himself." They mocked them. "He cannot even save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. You think about the people that are just saying these words to Jesus. There's a sense of humiliation. When I think of this afternoon, when I think about Jesus being led away to be crucified, I think of the pain that he went through. And I just probably glossed over the surface of the pain. I'm glossing over it. You think about the humiliation that he went through. But the third word that I think about when I think about this time of the year, and I think about specifically Jesus being led away to be crucified, I think about rejection. I think about rejection. How so? Let's continue reading. Verse 45. It says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?' That is, 'My God, why have you,'" what does it say? "'Forsaken me.'" Forsaken me. Can you guys say rejection?
Rejection.
Rejection. Before I touch about the rejection of the Father, you think about the rejection of the people in this story. His closest followers are called what, guys? Disciples. Where are they? They're hiding. They're not here. Peter, right? What did Peter say? Peter's like, "I'm not going to deny you." Right? And what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, before crow is not... I should know this. I'm doing the resurrection eggs with my kids, and there's the rooster, and they keep saying it's a chicken. No, it's a rooster. Our chickens. I'm a city kid. I don't know if rooster and chickens are. Anyway, all right. So, but before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me what? Three times. And Peter does, right? Peter denies Jesus, one of his closest disciples, closest followers. This week, at this weekly kind of Christian club, and a lot of the kids that are coming they're all over the map. Some of these kids they're far from church. And so they're coming into this room. Some of the stuff they're dealing with, I have kids that are coming into this room, they don't even live with their mom, they don't live with their dad. I have kids who, you know, who don't have any relationship with their dads at all. I have one kid who, he hasn't had a warm home. I don't think the heat works in his home. It just is a bunch of, the reality of the kids that I'm working with. But we talked about betrayal. And I said, "Guys, have you ever felt betrayed? Has someone ever betrayed you?" They're like, "Oh, yeah, that man, that girl, man, she betrayed me." If you know city kids, right? They got the little slang. I could speak a little slang. But they all raised their hand. From the girls to the guys, "Yeah, I felt betrayed by my closest friends." Jesus is rejected by his closest people. But then I think really the heart of this passage is not just the rejection by the people and his closest followers, but his own Father, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? One of the kids that comes to the meeting, and I kind of connect with at the school, he goes by the name of Bobby, all right? And I remember sitting down with him at McDonald's this is probably last year, and I was asking Bobby about his dad, and his family. So he told me a little bit about his mom, and I asked him, hey, what about your dad? Where's your dad at? And you could see his face begin to change. He kind of began to get a little hard and just kind of like, I don't want to go there, kind of. And I said, tell me more. Tell me more. What's going on? He goes, forget my dad. Forget my dad. I don't want anything to do with him. He made a bunch of empty promises growing up. And I would often speak to him, you know, week after week, and I would always bring up that topic as I can. Hey, what's going on? How's your dad? How's your dad? How's your dad? And it would be the same sort of response. And deep down, I think what Bobby was saying, I think really what Bobby was saying, why doesn't my dad love me? Why doesn't my dad love me? Why doesn't my dad want anything to do with me? And that's a picture of not just Bobby, but a lot of kids that I work with. Why does my dad want to do anything with me? There's a lot of kids, and we probably can experience, some of us can relate to that. We felt the rejection from our earthly father. But we think about this rejection here from the heavenly father. And we know why, right? We know why the father turned his face away, as that hymn said. We understand why. It was for us. It was so that we can have a way back to God. And so this afternoon on the cross, we think about the pain that Jesus went through. We think about the humiliation that he endured. We think about the rejection that he underwent. But the last word that I want to touch on is we think about the impact. Do you think about the impact that happened this afternoon? And let's continue reading, picking up at verse 51. So Jesus, he gives up the ghost in 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. 51, it says, and behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with them, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. This was the Son of God. Something happened on that day. Those soldiers who flogged Jesus, those soldiers who spat on Jesus, those soldiers who mocked him. I don't know if all of them had that revelation, but I know for sure one did. One had that revelation. He saw what happened. He saw the earthquake, and he said, this truly was the Son of God. Jesus' death had an impact on that man. He had an impact on so many people in the early century. He has an impact on us today. One of my favorite stories that I heard years ago was a story of Christians who were martyred early on within the first or second century. And what happened, these Christians were brought before either a Roman governor or some sort of Roman elite, some sort of Roman authority. And they said, deny Jesus. And these disciples, these early followers said, no, we're not going to. They brought they said, hey, if you deny Jesus, we'll give you this amount of money. And they still said no. They brought them again and said, hey, if you deny Jesus, we'll give you this. They still said no. So eventually they said, because you guys are not going to deny Jesus, what we're going to do is they put a nice hot like tub or bath in the center of this in the center of something. They surrounded them and they stripped them and left them naked. And they said, you're going to die just like this. You're going to die just like this. There was about 30 of them. 30 of them. Standing around this circle, and right in the middle is this nice warm bath. Eventually, one of the followers, one of the disciples, he decides to leave, and he decides to reject Jesus and kind of go into the bath, and he denies his faith. But one of the soldiers who was standing there keeping guard and watching, he saw what happened. He saw the faith of these men, and he decided to totally reject what he was doing, to totally, basically, to strip himself and join those guys. And on that day, I don't know exactly the exact date, but about 30 Christians were martyred for the faith. You think about that. You think about dying for a cause. You think about dying for a cause. Jesus had an impact. He had an impact. His death revolutionized the world. You think about Acts in the early church, right? One of the descriptions that they say in Acts is the people that turned the world upside down are what? Are here. They've come here too. You think about that. You think about the impact that Jesus had on those early disciples and the early followers. And we fast forward to 2018, and he's still having an impact. He's still having an impact on our lives. Why? The pain he went through, the humiliation, the rejection that he endured that afternoon. And as a result, he is impacting our lives. He is impacting our community. He is impacting our culture through individuals such as you. There's a song that I want to kind of end our time with. And we actually sang it, which is great. So I'm going to ask, do you have the lyrics for that? You know, one of the things that stood out to me during this evening was there was a lot of the realization that we are sinful, we are guilty, we are shameful. We have transgressed God's law, and so. But when we see our sin, we also see God's love, and this song kind of captures that. So as we wrap up, I would like for us just to kind of reflect on the words that are being sung. I believe they might be on the screen in a second. Is that correct? And just kind of let that kind of meditate on the words and let that lead us back to the Lord.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon him. Sin that held him there until he was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished.
In anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward?
have paid my ransom.
God, I just, I thank you that your wounds have paid my ransom. It's paid our ransom. We thank you this evening for that, Lord. Today's a good day. Today's a good day. And in 3 days, we celebrate your resurrection, how you conquered the grave. Lord, I do want to pray that you would give us a deeper appreciation, Lord, for you, a deeper appreciation for what you did on that cross so many years ago, Lord. And I do pray for those that don't know you, Lord, for those that are searching, that have questions, Lord. I pray that you would show them, Lord, your love. You would show them their need for you. Would you continue, Lord, to use the saints here, the elders here, to further your mission and to further your gospel. Again, we thank you that your wounds have paid our ransom. We thank you for the pain that you went through, the humiliation, the rejection. Because of that, Lord, there's impact. We pray this all in your son's name. Amen.